Just before I share, Sean, Ian's, sorry, Ian, I need you to come front, hey? Brad and Sharice are away this weekend, and Ian, thanks Bronwyn. Ian, myself, we had the wonderful privilege to go to the Great Lakes, and it was an incredible, incredible time. So I'd like Ian also to share a bit of testimony. I'll share a bit, and then we're going to have an incredible time in the Word of God. Ian, go for it.
It was a wonderful privilege having you for the first time, eh?
Yeah, great. Thank you, Manny. As Manny said, it is the first time. And first time I've traveled with Manny, with Brad, and obviously with the Crossing Church. And I must say, new nation, what a great privilege. Rwanda it's an outstanding, outstanding country. And Brad and I took on, I think it was Thursday, we took a walk through the Genocide Museum. And it's unbelievable. Did you guys go there? Unbelievable. You know, I said to many as I walked around the streets, there's such a sense of God's presence and peace over that city. It's unbelievable. I said to my wife, I said, that's a city at 10 o'clock at night. You can walk around on your own. And right next door are some countries that are, you know, at major war. And I think, as many have spoken about Rwanda and stuff, it's a country that's understood grace. It's a country that's understood forgiveness. I think it's 1 million people in 90 days, 100 days. I think 1 million people in 100 days were killed. And that's 10,000 bodies a day. And we went to the museum, went to the memorial, and we just walked around, and just the heartbreak. But that's a country that's understood grace. It's a country that's understood the power of the cross. And God is doing a great work in that nation of Rwanda. And I had the privilege to meet key men. Mapia, I think, who's preached here. Stanley, I'm not sure if he's preached here. Stanley and Gad from Rwanda. And these are just incredible men who are pioneering a work with many, with NCMI into the nations. And I think just, you know, every time I go to a different place or even to a repeat place, just God deposits something. He deposits the bigness of his heart. So I find that the moment you step out from, call it our comfort zones, call it our work and our day-to-day mundane life, and I find that the moment I go out, God does something in me. He enlarges my heart because actually I don't have the ability to enlarge my heart. You see, only God has the ability to enlarge our heart with his love for people who I've never met. I don't know their names. I don't even know their history. But God does something in the Spirit that he just opens your heart and for the bigness of his kingdom and a love for people. So absolutely, I would encourage anyone who has maybe thought about it, considered, yes, no, maybe, that incredible moment of stepping out and saying, Father, you do something here. You do something in my heart for other nations. Because God so loved the world, we know it so well, he gave his son, believes in him. For God so loved the ethnos. It's not South African. God is not South African. God is not American. God loves everyone. And he gave his son for everyone. And there's something so amazing. You can sit next to an Okana bus. I don't even know his name. I don't even know his history. But somehow, we are in the gospel united. In the gospel, we're on mission together. We understand clearly that there is the king is coming. There is a purpose. There is a plan to our meeting. Nothing's by chance. Because the truth is this. If you didn't know them, you wouldn't necessarily spend 5, 6, 7 days with them. But we are centered around the gospel. We're centered around the king's business and sent and released from the local church. So again, I throw it out there. If you guys have wanted to come on a trip, I really implore you and encourage you. Chat with many. The Crossing has some brilliant environments and nations to go to. First time for me was Rwanda, and first time in that country, and it is breathtaking. You know, Manny says it's beautiful, it's beautiful. You hear it. And I tell you, when we get to Lake Kivu, and man, oh man, oh man, the beauty of that place. It's actually, you know what, it's a treat and it is a pleasure to go and see that nation. So Manny, thank you for allowing me to come with. We loved it. I loved it. I know Brad did and all the guys. And great blessing. So thank you again, Manny.
For those that don't know, the Great Lakes, it's Central Africa. It includes the Northeast Congo, Burundi, and Rwanda. And each year in the month of February, we take a team. We are very specific, you know, who we take with us, because we meet with 30 key leaders. We meet with key leaders from those various countries, those nations, from 11 different cities. And we come to come away for a while, and we just dream. We share stories. We talk about the things of the Lord. We strategize together. And one of the highs for me is I love the God stories. These guys have got stories to tell, and I want to tell a few of them before I share. They are absolutely incredible. And it's in that dialogue when you're just sitting around a table, we take them away. It's an incredible time. In the months of May and June, we also go there. I have the privilege to go there again for another 3.5 weeks. And of course, one of the weeks is going to be in the country that there's been a lot on the news. It's still under incredible pressure, country called Burundi. And I spoke to one of our key leaders, Stanley, and I said to him privately, I said, Stanley, is it safe to come? He says, Manny, come. You know, Jesus tells us he has not given us, the Bible clearly tells us he has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. So hear those stories and you go, because God wants you to go. I think you've heard it many, many times that, friends, when you're in the center of God's will, there is no fear. There's no fear in God. The only fear that we actually have is the fear for mighty God. That's a reverence and awe and a worship of Him. So it's going to be a privilege to go there. I'll tell you a little bit about what Stanley had to say. And then, of course, after that time, we're going to a brand new area, a place called Nimembwe. Now, you've got to understand something about Nimembwe. Nimembwe is in a place, I've never been there before. This is a new door that God's opened. And I was reading an article somewhere. It said new, what does it say? It said new faces, new voices. New faces, new voices. New territories, whatever the case may be. I'm going to see a new place. I'm going to see new voices. I'm going to see new people. It's absolutely incredible. But it's been a response from their hearts. Please, Manny, would you come to this region? Come to this region. I did not know about the region. But as I mentioned once before, last year, God had clearly opened the door for us to go. By the grace of God, we're going there. It's a small team from South Africa that are going, because it's very costly. And I want to share some testimony. And I spoke to one of our key guys there, because you fly from here, you fly to a place called Kigali, which is the capital of Rwanda. Then from there, you fly to another place called Kimembe, which is in Rwanda. You cross over the border, you go to about the third, fourth largest city in the DRC Congo called Bukavu. And from there, you fly a chartered plane. And they've organized a chartered plane, a UN. Can you believe that the Lord's even using the military to help us? The UN are going to fly us in and fly us out, but only four of us, free of charge. Can you believe it, boy? Free of charge. Because initially, last year when we were talking about it, they were talking about that's going to cost us about $7,000. You do your calculations with the exchange rate. It's phenomenal, you know. But in any case, God has provided for that. But there are guys that are going to be going to that place. Friends from all over the Congo, they're going to be traveling for 5 days. Many of our other leaders that can't go on the plane are going to be driving there. It's going to take them up to 10 days, 10 hours to get to that place. And I told them not to get there the day before. They're going to get there a couple of days before and get the place all ready for us. We are so excited for that place. But there's a guy, an old man, who's on our team called Noah. He's a legend. For me, he's in his 70s. Loves the Lord Jesus Christ, church planted, gone into those areas like you cannot believe. And I sat across at one of our meal times, sat at this table, and he was on the other side of the table, and he started to share some of the stories, and I asked him to share some of these testimonies with us in our time together. And just a few of them. He mentioned that in the year 1950, in the early 1950s, there was a wonderful and a mighty revival that happened in that region. And then he said things like this. He said there was the miracle of transportations. Just my eyes, my ears, my hair nearly stood on edge. I mean, you've got to, you know, when you read the Bible, and if you know your Bible, there's a book called Acts. And it's Acts chapter 8. And it talks about this guy, Philip. Philip was a deacon. Philip was, and he baptized this man called an Ethiopian eunuch, you know, an Ethiopian, a black man. And he baptized him in water after this man professed Christ. He believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God. When he baptized him in water, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit took Philip. You've got to picture this scene, eh? He took Philip and he transported him to a place called Azotus. Don't ask me where Azotus is. And it says they never met each other again. So you know, you read these things in the Bible. But child of God, these things still happen today, boy. And they told us of some of, not just once, a number of times. They actually say that one of the guys, he's a very, very old man. He's still alive and we're possibly going to meet him when we go to this place called Minembwe. So the miracle of transportation. I said, Jesus, I think it would be very, very convenient, you know, for you to do those kind of things. And I don't have to go through the bush, across rivers, rebel territory. Just take me to these spots, you know. But so there was stuff like that. Then he spoke to me. You've got to understand, you're going to people. There's no education there, child of God. These people can't even read and they can't even write. And he says this, the Holy Spirit during that time was the teacher. The Holy Spirit, they used the word. He said the Holy Spirit was the teacher. The Holy Spirit taught them to read and taught them to write, child of God. The Holy Spirit taught them to read and taught them to write. It's not uncommon, friends, when you get to know, I've had the privilege, by the grace of God, to work in that region. This year will be 10 years. To listen to guys talking to a guy, I know his name, Samuel. And I said to him, Samuel, how did you learn English? He said, I learned English by reading the Bible. Someone gave him an English Bible, child of God. He learned English by reading the Bible. And then I remember I took a doctor once, a dentist with me. He wanted to go to Rwanda, to the Great Lakes. So this guy comes along. But this guy's English was very fancy. You know, my English is simple, but this guy's English was fancy. He spoke words that I haven't even seen in the dictionary. So this guy, Samuel, said to him, his name is called Andy, says, Andy, that word is not in the Bible. So every time Andy spoke and used big English words, I say, Andy, that's not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. Then he spoke about for a period of nearly 10 years. 10 years. There was no sickness and death in that place, except for very old people. Those, of course, that knew the Lord Jesus Christ, they were caught up into the glories of God. How's that for you? There was no sickness. There was no death in that place. Child of God. You know, I've had the privilege to share testimonies all over the place. But you know, there's no books about these kind of things. And video clips and all that kind of stuff. God is doing incredible things all over the world. If you and I, in obedience, will just follow in His footsteps and go to these places, friends, He Himself, Jesus said, these signs shall follow those that will believe. There will be miracles after miracles after miracles. He keeps you. You eat food, sometimes you think, Jesus, you've got to help me, you know. But He said, even if you eat any deadly thing, I'm not saying it's a deadly thing, you know what I mean? But even if you eat any deadly thing or if you eat any poison, it will not hurt you and harm you. You've got to trust God that He preserves you and protects you as you go to these different places. Then they spoke about stories of the outpourings of the Holy Spirit upon people, friends. The Holy Spirit just came upon these people and they started to talk in tongues, friends, and started to prophesy, just like we read in the Bible. How's that, Nomsa and Angie? I mean, that is incredible. And then they tell you of thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people who have come and professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, friends, we go. We go because Jesus wants us to go. And we're going to go to this place by the grace of God. That's part of the agenda. By the grace of God, we're going to this place. And I tell you something, the excitement in their heart is so tangible. It's amazing. Let me tell you about Burundi. So we heard some of the testimonies about what's happening in Burundi. A child of God, when they start to talk their testimonies, they talk about these bombs, explosions here and there and everywhere. And you would think to yourself, they would just pack their bags and just be one of those refugees. It is said that 240,000 Burundians have fled the nations. Pastors, friends, who lead churches, friends, have just packed their bags and have just gone. and left the sheep. I wonder if they're true shepherds of God. But in any case, friends, they are there. They are there, and they encourage us to come. But you know what Stanley said to me? He said to all of us, he said, God is moving in such a powerful way. He says, Muslims are coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He says, I'm baptizing people left, right, and center. Our churches are full. Churches are being planted. Friends, God is working even in the midst of darkness and pain and trying times, you know. I was thinking of that one scripture where it actually says, in our darkest night, friends, the light shines the brightest. You know, in Isaiah, you know, where it's so dark, friends, the light shines the brightest. God is giving opportunities. God is giving privileges. And these people stand together and they're so appreciative and they said, please send greetings to the churches. Please send greetings to your churches, to your families. They love us, child of God. They love us. And the work of God is just going on in incredible ways. You know, there was even a Tanzanian man that came for the first time just to be a part of what's going on. So I just find this an incredible privilege. But I'd like to share some thoughts around the table of the Lord. Before I start, something happened to me last year. And I was going through my Bible reading and I came upon this beautiful passage that we're going to read together in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you've got your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And it is from verses 23 through to verse 26. But for the sake of time, you need to go right through to the end of the chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, picking up from verse 23 right through to the end of the chapter, which is actually verse 34. But we'll just read a few of this. But Lord, before I go on, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence here. I want to just say thank you, Lord God, not just only for your presence, but I want to say thank you for your indwelling presence. Your indwelling presence. Lord, you spoke about that the Father and myself, by the Holy Spirit, will come and make our home in us. Thank you, Lord, for the indwelling presence. Thank you, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us, Jesus in us, in the person of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for revelation. I pray for your ministry. I pray for you to confirm your word with signs and wonders following. I pray, O God Almighty, for us as a church, that this will not just be a practice. This will not be a law. This will not be a ritual. This will not just be something that we do traditionally. But this will be a way of life for each and every one of us. I pray for this. Lord, that it will not be as I share, that it will not come across as a rule, as a formula. I pray it will come out of a devotion for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, as we come around this table, the title of the message is called, Do This in Remembrance of Me. Do this. One translation says, Do this to remember me. You can look up. Do this to remember me. Those are the words of Jesus. And we already, can you believe it, we're in 2 months of 2016. February's nearly over. We're moving across 2016, going right through to when he comes back again. Child of God, I pray the words of Jesus Christ, do this to remember me. He doesn't want you and I to forget him. He doesn't forget us, friends, but you and I, through our busyness and our pursuits of whatever, friends, we forget him. We've got sometimes no time for him. But friends, he will never, ever forget us. He will never, ever forget us. In fact, in Isaiah 49, it says he's actually engraved us, our names, on the palms of his hand. The Amplified says he's actually tattooed. If you're against tattooed, I'm for tattoos. Don't shoot me. Just love me, you know. Because I'll tell you something. God has tattooed your name, my name, friends, on his hand. He'll never, ever forget us. Never, ever forget us. He loves us. He loves us so much. This table, child of God, is a table of love. This table, friends, is a love feast. This table, friends, is a spiritual meal. This is a covenantal meal. Something happened to me last year when I was going through this, before we read the scriptures. I felt to myself that when I'd gone through it, that I wanted to do this, by the grace of God, to do this every day of my life. I want to do it every day. I said, Holy Spirit, would you help me to do this every day? Before I go into my commitments for the day, I want to have the breaking of bread with Jesus. Before I preach, I want to do this with Jesus. Before I go on a trip, I want to do this with Jesus. There are times, friends, that we do it as a church, maybe once a month. Sometimes we might even do it in a life group. We might do it with others. I want to encourage husbands and wives to do this. I want to challenge you. I want this to be something out of a desire. Not a want, friends. Not because you must do it. Not because it must be because of your love for Jesus Christ. But I want to challenge you, child of God, even men and women, young and old, to do this on a regular basis. If you can, friends. If you can. No law, please. Try and do it every day. Every day in the morning. Whatever, friends. Try and do it every day. I want to trust you, friends, to try and to do this, friends, no matter what situation you and I are going through. Because it tells us, friends, if as we read this particular passage of Scripture, it says this in verse 23, for this is what Paul is writing, he says, for this is what the Lord Himself said, and I'm passing it on to you just as I received it. It was passed on to Paul, probably through the apostolic teachings, or by the, you know, he had revelations of Jesus Christ in incredible ways. But it was passed on to him and he's passing it on to us. And then it says this very interesting, on the night when he, Jesus, was betrayed. Let me pause there a bit. On the night, friends, Jesus was going to be betrayed. Around that table, friends, there was a betrayer. Jesus knew, friends, it was going to be his dark night. It was going to be one of those awful storms that Jesus was going to go through for you and me. He was going to go through a storm, friends, that you and I will never, ever go through. It struck me, child of God, that even because I hear all over the place, friends, where whatever you and I are going through, I want to challenge you. Would you break bread in the name of Jesus? Would you break bread in the name of Jesus? I found myself, there was Patrick. If you know Patrick, that's Brad's, Charisse's father, Brad's father-in-law. And before he went in for heart surgery, I felt the Lord saying, because he wanted to see me. Patrick, is he here? He's not here, hey? But he wanted to see because he just was, there was a little bit of fear. I also had heart surgery. I mean, we're also human, you know? And he was going to be cut open. So I felt to have the breaking of the bread with him, for him to remember Jesus. The one who's going to hold you so close, Patrick, boy. The one who's going to stand alongside you. The one who's going to initiate, friends. Thank you for the doctors, for the physicians, for the nurses. Thank you for the medical staff, their medication, all those kind of things. But Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, He is going to be there, boy. He is going to be there. Even as you walk through your darkest night, friends, don't fear, for He is near. Don't fear, for He is near. But when Jesus, on the night that He was going to be betrayed, I find that I don't know your situations or your circumstances, but I want to trust God, even for a business person. Maybe there's a business deal that's not coming through the way you thought it was going to come through. Can I ask you to, would you break bread? Business people and on your business premises, can I challenge you? I'm asking in the name of Jesus. Would you break bread on your premises? Would you apply the blood? You make Jesus central. Do you know that the Lord's Supper, friends, the Lord's Supper that we're going to share in, please don't leave me now, hey? The Lord's Supper is God's way of making the cross central in the life of the church. The Lord's Supper is God's way of making the cross of Christ central in the life of the church. Can I challenge you, even in your own homes, would you break bread? Can I challenge you, husbands and wives? Would you break bread? I'm just trying to stimulate certain things here, you know. I want to challenge you. We're going to read on, friends. This table, friends, is a table of remembrance. This table, friends, is a table of hope. This table, friends, we're going to see some of these things as a table of healing. If anyone is sick in this place today, friends, your eyes look to Jesus because He is the healer. Not Manny, not no one else, friends. Jesus Christ alone, friends. You can receive your healing right here. Right here, today. Believe God. Believe God. This is a table of victory. This is a table of freedom. This is a table of forgiveness. Child of God. This is a table of forgiveness. As I said, there's other passages of Scripture. We won't have time to read it, but the Bible tells us when we eat of this bread and we drink of the cup, we must eat and drink in a manner worthy of the Lord. We must honor the Lord's table, the body of Christ, not to dishonor Him. Because if we dishonor Him, friends, the Bible says, that's why some of you are weak and some of you are sick and even people have died. That's why this table, child of God, is a table that we look backwards, we look forward, and we look inward. It deals with the past, it deals with the present, and it deals with the future. Friends, the remembering, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. We are not remembering a dead friend or a dead Savior. We are remembering a living Savior. And the Bible says we are proclaiming the Lord's death until He comes. This table, friends, we do it till He comes. Till He comes. So it's remembering, friends, Jesus' death for us. But it's also a table where we look forward, friends. He says, do this until He comes. It's a table that reminds us, child of God, hey, Jesus, He's coming back again. And of the bread and of the cup, friends, Jesus Himself said, I will not eat of this bread or drink of this cup until it finds its fulfillment in the kingdom of God. I'll tell you something. Jesus is coming back again, child of God. Jesus is coming back again. And when I talk about looking inward, child of God, you know, we were singing, Mandolin and the team, thank you for just the love of God. When you talk about God's love, child of God, I have no words to describe it, but just something of what the Bible says. When we talk about the love of God, this is agape love. This is the most excellent way. This is the love of God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Do you know that as an unbeliever, you'll never receive the love of God? Friends, that agape love is given to people who believe in Jesus. But something about the love of God, the Bible says, love is patient. So it's going to remind me on a daily basis, hey, Manny, be patient, boy. Be patient with Tiffany. Have you seen it? She's just turned 20. She's so cute, man. Be patient. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable. It's going to help me. I'm talking about me, but when it's me, it's us, eh? You know, because we all get irritable. Come on, don't look at me like that, please. Don't be too religious. Let's just relax here. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable. Then it uses a statement that's very interesting. It says, love keeps no record of wrongs. And I challenged the church even last year because I had the privilege to share this, but it's God's adding to this. I will never stop preaching this, child of God. But this aspect of keeping a record of wrongs, child of God, this reminds me that Jesus on the cross, friends, He took your sins, my sins, past, present, and future, all our ho-hos. I don't care what you and I have done, friends. He remembers our sins and our misdeeds no more, child of God. God does not have a memory problem. God is omniscient. God is all-knowing. He knows everything, but He's made a choice to remember your sins, my sins, no more. Hey, if He remembers them no more, then what right have you and I got to remember, friends? What right have you and I got to remember? I remember I was reading this particular statement. And I'm just repeating here. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Why do we keep records? Why do we keep records? You say, man, I've got no records. Well, we'll soon find out. Maybe I've hurt you. Maybe I've said something. I'm using myself here, but when I'm saying myself, it's us. I'll soon find out, friends, a loved one in a marriage, whatever, or in a relationship. And then all of a sudden, friends, you're still reminding me of something I did to you 3-4 years ago. I said, hey, I thought you sorted out the records. Just the mere fact that's coming out of your mouth is you're keeping the records, man. Husbands and wives, oopsie. You know, relationships. Jesus cancels the records, man. Why do we keep records? To prove that we paid our bills. Why do we keep a record of wrongs? To use it against an enemy or one's spouse when it comes in handy. Love tears up that record of wrongs so that their bad comment or their deed can never be told again. Father God, this is what the table does. Reminds me, friends, that Jesus keeps no record of wrongs. Friends, we all are going to be subjected to hurts and to harms by whoever, friends. I'm asking in the name of Jesus Christ, love cancels the record. I want to tell you something. On the cross, Jesus cancelled the records. Jesus cancelled the records. I'm asking you, please, in the name of Jesus Christ, 2015, don't bring up the records, man. Today, friends, if there's some records, I'm asking in the name of Jesus Christ, put it under the blood. The blood is so powerful. This table reminds us of the blood of Christ, friends. This table, friends, is a table that Satan hates, but we love this table. David said that you've set a table before me, even in the presence of my enemies. The Bible says in Revelations, we overcome our enemy, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Child of God, there's such power around this table. Forgiveness around the table. I'm asking in the name of Jesus Christ. I can't do this, but let the records go, man. Release the records. Don't let that thing, friends, hinder you. It talks about that we're running this race in Hebrews. It says you've got to lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely to you. So many Christians are so hindered in their race. There's still stuff, friends. Let go, man. In Jesus' name. We've all been hurt. Think of what Jesus did. Such love, child of God. Such love. He could have escaped going to the death. He could have called legions of angels. As John read to us, God showed His love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you and for me. Greater love is no man than this, than one lay down his life for a friend. It's love, friends, that makes us go to those regions. It's the love of Christ that compels us. There's a message that is given to us, friends. And this gospel, this message of the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ must be preached to all the nations, and then the end will come. God's helping us, child of God, in our pursuits out there to hasten the coming of Jesus. You know, the Bible clearly tells us God's not slow about His coming. Oh, man, He's not slow at all. But He's just wanting so many more people to come and believe in Him. Oh, my Jesus. It's a table of forgiveness. It's a table of joy, man. Please, I'm asking Jesus that joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. If you did not know, child of God, joy. Joy. Get used to it, child of God. Because in eternity, there's fullness of that joy. You know, in His presence there are pleasures forevermore. In His presence there is joy forevermore. Friends, joy. This table, friends, is reminding us that there's coming another table, friends. There's going to be the marriage feast of the Lamb. Oh, my Jesus. Is there going to be joy there? Woo-hoo! Come on, man. This is something. The joy of the Lord is our strength, child of God. It's the joy of recommitment. It's a table, child of God, where you and I come and we recommit our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Recommit ourselves for service to Jesus Christ. Every single one of us. Jesus, I'm here for you, man. The mere fact that you're still alive, child of God, means that you still have unfinished business. It's a table of deliverance. He sets the captives free, man. I'm getting carried away here. It's a table of love. It's a table of grace and peace. It's a table of breakthrough. It's a table of thanksgiving. It's an occasion for thanksgiving, friends. Be thankful, child of God. Be thankful. Thank Him. You know, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, in spite of what life brings our way. Can you say thanks, Jesus? Can you thank Him? Listen to the word of the Lord. Can you thank Him before the fulfillment of a promise? Before your breakthrough? before your healing, before your deliverance, can you and I give thanks for what we are about to receive? Can you thank Him before, child of God? Thank Him. Hey, Thanksgiving is a powerful thing, friends. Whew. It's a table of blessing. It's a table of promise. Friends, this table reminds us of the promises of God to us. His words, His visions, His dreams, His prophecies. Oh man, whatever. Friends, if God has spoken, He is bound by His word. He will fulfill it. One of my readings recently was in the book of Genesis. And it's the story about Joseph. Oh man, when he was a young boy, he had these amazing dreams. Roy, that one day, and Tony, that he was going to be a ruler of God's people. His brothers, man, hated him. His father even rebuked him. They thought, who are you? They even called him, here comes that dreamer. You know, you've got to be careful who you share your dreams with, child of God, just in passing. Because I'm telling you sometimes we share our dreams with people, they say, you crazy. You know, impossible. There are so many of those type of people, friends. I've had dreams, I tell you, impossible, can't be. You can't do it. Impossible. You've got 4,000 rand, you've got to build a building that's 8 million rand, and God says, go ahead. Impossible. I'm just using examples. If Jesus said it, that's it. So Joseph, friends, he is in Egypt. He's now the prime minister. Jacob says to his sons, you guys better get the sons. You better get to Egypt. I've heard that there's grain there. And if we don't get grain, we're going to starve. So as they come there, and there's Joseph, and the brothers come to him. And the Bible says that they did not recognize him, but he recognized them. And it says something very interesting. You know, I'm saying this, I'm going to quote this, but I'm going to give the scripture reference because it's for someone here, some people here today. I don't know for who, and you don't have to tell me, but it's for someone, some people here today. And this very interesting, it's around about Genesis chapter 40. Please help me. Here we go, Jesus. That's why I mark my Bible so much. And it says, where is it, Jesus? Oh, yeah. It's Genesis 42. Verse 9, Genesis 42, verse 9. And it says this. Joseph's brothers did not recognize him. That's Genesis 42, verse 8. But Joseph recognized them. And this statement hit me like a bolt. It said, and he remembered the dreams he had had many, many years ago. Olive and Kerry. Val, Kerry. Whoever you are. Wesley. Palua, John, Kayla, he remembered the dreams he had had many, many years ago. This is a table of remembrance. When God speaks something, it's going to come to pass, child of God, you know. It's a table of honor. It's a table of freedom. It's a table of unity. But let me go on in this passage. So on the night that Jesus was betrayed, it says something like this. The Lord Jesus took a loaf of bread. And Jesus had taken this loaf of bread. A loaf of bread. I've got it like this, that's okay. He took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he said this, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the original it says, "This is for you." You know, when Jesus gave himself for us, child of God, it wasn't some animal, it wasn't some goat, it wasn't one of those things. He gave himself the perfect sacrifice for us. Let me remind you, he gave himself willingly for us. He gave himself freely for us. He gave himself lovingly for us. He gave himself sacrificially for us. He gave himself generously for us. He gave himself graciously for us. He gave himself wholeheartedly for you and for me. Such love, child of God, just is absolutely amazing. And then it says, in the same way, he took the cup, friends. He was a cup, friends, and he took the cup and he said something. This is for me is explosive. He said, this cup is the new covenant between God and you. Let me pause there. A new covenant was instituted here. You know, soon, friends, we are coming to Easter. It's a celebration, friends, around the world. I mean, people celebrate Easter. There's what they call the Passover. So many people are caught up in the Old Covenant. Friends, it was something that the Bible, I don't have the time to share it, but friends, the Passover and that meal and the way they went through it, God required the children of Israel under the Old Covenant to do it regularly as a remembrance, friends, of the Passover. When God passed over them, friends, the blood, when I see the blood, He passed over them. But friends, we don't do it anymore like that, friends. At the table, friends, the night Jesus was going to be betrayed, He institutes a new covenant. Child of God, you and I are no longer under the old covenant. You and I are under the new covenant. The old covenant finds its fulfillment in the new covenant. Wow. I mean, it's explosive. A new covenant. The blessing of the new covenant. The promises of the new covenant. The glory of the new covenant. God has said that you and I are ministers of a new covenant. Let me remind you, Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. There would be no new covenant without a mediator. I'm going to 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 5 and 6. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 5 and 6, and it says this. There is only one God. And there is only one mediator who can reconcile God and the people. His name, and His name is called Jesus. He's the mediator. Let me repeat. There is only one God. There is only one mediator that can reconcile God and the people. He is the man, Christ Jesus. Very interesting, friends. Jesus, when He came to earth, He was fully God and He's fully man. Only as a man could He die for you and I. And then He says this, He purchased freedom for every single person, child of God. You and I got to understand, when we come around the table, however you do it, friends, I'm encouraging you to do it often. It reminds us, child of God, that through Jesus Christ, because God, if I have to say something about God, God is so holy, God is so pure, God is so perfect, God, the Bible says, is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Then how can you and I, who are full of darkness, ever come to such a holy God? Only through Jesus Christ, child of God. He's the mediator. Friends, we come to Him. He purchased freedom. Freedom, child of God. Freedom. Let me remind you, freedom. Freedom from sickness. Freedom from the sting of death, child of God. Woo-hoo. I'm not afraid of death. If I have to die, friends, well, no problem, friends. Absent from the body and present with the Lord. Please don't look at me like that. At the speed of thought, child of God. I look at Rita. Oh, Rita, when your time comes, and God will keep preserving you, you know, Rita, for however long, you know. But I mean, it's incredible. If death comes, friends, say, death is just a doorway to see Jesus face to face. The Bible does say, one day we're going to see Him face to face. Hey, He's going to prepare a place for us. You know, but death has lost its sting, friends. Jesus went to the cross. He broke the power of death over your life and mine. Hey, what about sin, friends? Freedom from sin. All kinds. Freedom from sorrows. Freedom from systems or vain traditions. You know, laws and all those things. Freedom from slavery. Freedom from Satan's kingdom of darkness and gloom, friends. Jesus came to set you and I free. I want to remind you and I, child of God, that you and I are very, very expensive. Very, very expensive. There was a high price that was paid for you and I. The Bible is clear, friends, you and I were not purchased with gold and with silver, but with the precious, life-giving blood of the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And Jesus said, friends, He took up the cup and He spoke about, this is the new covenant in my blood. Then He said something like this. He said, it is sealed by the shedding of my blood. Let me just touch on this aspect, which is for me explosive. Sealed by the shedding of His blood. This new covenant is sealed. Oh, Jesus. I don't know. It brings joy to me. A seal signifies three things. Firstly, it signifies a finished transaction. What Jesus did, He did once and for all, never ever to be repeated ever, ever again. When Jesus said, it is finished, it is finished. What is finished, friends? The atonement, friends, for you and for me. Friends, Satan lost his power there, friends. When he said, it is finished, here we see the total destruction of Satan's power over life. Because Colossians chapter 2 verse 15 says, by the cross and by his shed blood, he disarmed the principalities and the powers and the evil rulers and authorities, and he shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross of Jesus Christ. Woo-hoo-hoo! A finished transaction, friends. What he did once and for all, never to be repeated ever, ever again. Jesus' sacrifice will never have to be repeated. It is good for all of eternity. Secondly, it signifies ownership, child of God. You and I, friends, have been identified as His own. You and I are not our own anymore. You come around the table, child of God, you remind yourself that I belong to Him. He bought you. You are not for sale ever, ever again. You are His. So powerful, friends. 1 Corinthians 7:23 says, God purchased you at a high price. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, or don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you? Oh, the indwelling. Ooh, who lives on the inside of you and me, child of God. He's there, forever there. I love the statement I read many years ago, Christ in me. Friends, our hope of glory. What is eternal life? Eternal life is Christ within. Eternal life is Christ within. Do you have Jesus inside of you? This body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, child of God. You and I are not the bosses anymore. Jesus is not just only our Savior. When I come around the table, He's my Lord Jesus Christ. Of the kids, of the family, of our finances, of our business, of our goings, our comings. He's Lord Jesus. And Jesus is also King. He's King Jesus, friends. He's King Jesus. For you, God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. And Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30 says, He is the one who has identified or sealed you as His own. And thirdly, a seal signifies, thirdly, it signifies security. Security. How secure are you? Let me remind you, friends. The Bible says you have been sealed until the day of redemption, boy. You are so secure in Him. It's not about you and I keeping ourselves. We cannot do that. He keeps us. I love this one. 1 John chapter 5 verse 18 says, For God's Son holds them so securely, and the evil one cannot get his hands on them, child of God. Jesus holds you and I so securely that the evil one cannot even get his grip on us. I was reading something this week and I put it next to my notes here. It says, God's Son has an eternal grip on you. God's Son, Jesus, has an eternal grip on you. When Jesus, in John 17, before He left this earth, He said to the Father, Father, I pray that You do not take them out of the world, but please keep them from the evil one. He's able to keep us. In fact, the Bible says, we are in His hands and none will pluck us out of His hands. And then the Bible says, friends, just in case you need some more security, Jesus is in the Father. You and I are in the Father because of Jesus Christ. Double security. Hey, man. Ish, come on, man. No fear, child of God. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, But the Lord is faithful. He will make you strong and guard you from the evil one. I need to close up. Let me remind you, child of God, because this is what this table does for me. Without the blood of Jesus, child of God, there is no access to God. Without the blood of Jesus, no forgiveness of sins. Without the blood of Jesus, there's no right standing with God. Without the blood of Jesus, there's no cleansing of our evil consciences. Without the blood of Jesus, there's no giving of the Holy Spirit. Without the blood of Jesus, there's no security. Without the blood of Jesus, there's no salvation. Without the blood of Jesus, there's no redemption. Without the blood of Jesus, there's no redemption. There's no new covenant at all. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. The Lord's Supper, friends. The Lord's Supper is God's way of getting us to keep the cross of Christ central in the life of the church. So Jesus takes the cup. He says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, sealed by the shedding of my blood. He says, do this in remembrance of me until I come again. Jesus is coming back again, friends. We look backwards, we look forward. Friends, Jesus is coming back again. I just want to read these thoughts here. The Lord's table is a sacred place, and it is a sacred time. It's a place where we remember Jesus. We make an altar in our hearts for the past, the present, and the future. Past, we remember what Jesus did. We remember Jesus' death for us. The present, we remember moments of celebration, celebrating Christ, meeting with His people. This is a time, friends, even in the present, where Jesus Himself, by the power of the Holy Spirit, strengthens us in our sanctification. We are participating, friends, in the bread, the body of Christ, and in the blood of Christ. The body of Christ, friends, He is the bread of life. And the blood of Christ, friends, is so powerful, friends, that we overcome the evil one by the blood of Jesus. And then the future, it's a reunion with Christ in heaven. It helps us, it reminds us that there's going to come a time where you and I are going to participate in a banquet feast of the Lamb and the Bride. And the Bible says we do this until He comes. Maranatha, Lord, come. Friends, it's a place, friends, where the old covenant is replaced with the new covenant. Friends, it's the reminds us what Jesus does. When I see the blood, I will pass over them. As we come around this table together, can I ask the deacons and the saints, would you help us? Why I'm wanting to do this, just to help us to get across, would each one of us take a little wafer and take a little a cup of juice? And don't eat yet, eh? Will you wait for us? Can we do that? Thanks, Reese, for coming first. Why don't you come and help us? Thanks, Bronwyn. Thanks, Denver. If you can make sure that everyone gets something. Maybe you say, but Manny, you know, I don't even know Jesus. I was invited to this place this morning and I came. It's my first time. I don't know Jesus. You know, this is a believer's meal, child of God. So I'm going to pray a prayer. Don't eat yet and please don't drink. Just wait a bit. Just be patient. Lunch is coming. Just be patient. But you say, hey Manny, what must I do to be saved? It was a statement in the Bible that was said by a jailer. He said this to one of the servants of God. He said, what must I do to be saved? Thank you, Ben. What must I do to be saved? Didn't say go to church to be saved. Didn't say I must read my Bible to be saved. Didn't say I must try and straighten my life to be saved. What must I do to be saved? And the reply was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You and your household will be saved. So all you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. This table of love reminds us, reminds you, reminds me. Friends, greater love is no man than this, and one lay down his life for a friend. If you have not put your faith in Jesus, just where you are, I want you to do it. I want it to do it different. I want you to say, Jesus, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. God knows hearts. He knows heart. This morning, we're going to break bread with each other. So there are people that are sitting next to you, husband and wife, whatever the case may be, if you're on your own and there's no one around you, that's okay. But I'd really encourage you to, when the time comes, would you go to someone and break bread with them? But I just want you to think, friends, cancel the records. That's right. Cancel the records. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Please, I'm asking in the name of Jesus, We're already 2 months into 2016. Hey, how come we're still carrying the records? Let's put our past under the blood. If you've got sickness in your body, as you eat and as you drink, will you see Jesus healing your body, whatever your disease, whatever your infirmity? If you've got a situation, a problem, whatever the case may be, would you just give it over to Jesus? Your business, your marriage, your children, I don't know what it may be. Lord Jesus, says, most of us in this place, as the emblems are still being passed around, thank you for your presence here. Thank you, Jesus, for the freedom. Thank you for the unity of this table, that it can unite us from different language groups, cultures, nations, people. Incredible what the blood of Jesus does. Holy Spirit, would you remind us, would you help us not to forget Jesus? That He is our focus. We fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Father, as we share in this communion together as a church, the band also, has the band got something there, Denver? Make sure that they've also got something. Lord, I pray that there would be a sense of recommitment of service to King Jesus. Hey, you know what I didn't say? Just before we're going to eat together. In the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 42, after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this was very fascinating. It says that the early church, what they did is they devoted themselves to apostolic teaching, they devoted themselves to fellowship, and the Bible says they devoted themselves to the Lord's Supper. That was interesting. And then in verse 46 of Acts chapter 2 verse 46, it says this, they met together in two places primarily. There was the temple, like this church, there was the big facility. They met in the temple for worship. Wonderful, thank you for that. But it says this, very interesting. They also met in homes. Hallelujah, Jesus. For the Lord's Supper. The early church did not want to lose focus of Jesus, child of God. Even in the homes. I go to places, friends. I go to churches, friends. People do this in such a religious way. People come to me afterwards and they say, Manny, can I break bread on my own? I say, oh yes, you can. Because if we had time, friend, to see, friends, we don't have to go to some Jerusalem or some temple, some far off place, friends, according to John chapter 4. Friends, we can go anywhere. Our worship is in spirit and in truth, for they are the worshippers that the Father is looking for. Oh, Jesus. Father, I thank you right now for your continual ministry to us. Won't you minister to others? Won't you, even if you don't know their names, you can ask them, what are their names? Won't you break bread with people next to you? Amy, I'd love you to break bread with Rose Maria in front. Won't you turn around and husbands and wives, won't you do that? You know, just, friends, if you feel you have to move a couple of seats, go to someone, these two guys, yeah, break bread together. Just move one seat closer. That's it. I want to encourage you. Do that. If there's three of you, that's fine. Just go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead and minister. Pray for each other. Do that. Pray for each other. Thank you so much. Thanks, Oliver. Thanks, Val. Ian, I need your help here. Would you put your base, these three guys here, I'm not too sure if they even know the Lord Jesus Christ. Ian, would you help them? Would you break bread with those guys? Really appreciate that. Ray, I need your help here. I'm needing more manpower here. Please, Ray. These guys over there. Ray, won't you come and help here? I'm stretching you, Ray, this morning. You guys are such a blessing. We've got Mandela in front. These guys, those guys over there. You can move chairs around. Feel free. Oh, Lord Jesus, this is beautiful. Oh, Lord Jesus. John, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's eat together. Let's drink together. This is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your body given for us. Thanks, Sandy. Thanks for praying for those people next to you. Nico, that's great. Angie and Nomsa, I need you to go and help me with those three ladies there, please. Please, Angie, Nomsa, thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, as we drink of the cup together, oh, thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. Oh, Jesus, thank you for such power in the blood. Such power in the blood. In the name of Jesus, appropriate and apply the blood to every one of us by faith, Lord God, over our homes, over our marriages, over our finances, over our properties, over the life of this church, over our businesses, over our comings, over our goings. Thank you, Lord, when you see the blood, Lord Jesus, you pass over them. We worship you, Lord. We thank you for the blood, Lord Jesus. Because of the blood, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place. Because of the blood of Jesus. This is the new life-giving way that Christ has opened for us through the sacred curtain by means of His death for us. Thank you, Jesus.